Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is going on today. As you can see, I'm not alone. I'm sitting here with someone I've been dying to interview for the last couple of months, and the time is now. Here we are. It is the springtime gateway for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, the autumn gateway if you're down under. And I'm here today to introduce you to Rosie Aronson. Welcome, Rosie.
Thank you. So it nice to be here.
It is wonderful to have you here. And I see we still have a little bit of a lag going on. So I'm going to try to talk slower so that things, you know, even out a bit. So I want to welcome you here to the Meta Cafe. Here on this show, every day we talk about astrology. We talk about human design. We talk about the gene keys. We talk about Mayan astrology. We talk about all of the different kinds of divination tools out there. We do card readings. Sometimes I have guests or people in the background. They'll do readings for me. I also usually on Friday get out my decks of cards and we do readings. So we basically just have sort of a good time talking about the different subjects. And the thing that really inspired me to ask you to come on was these cards that you have created. This is what dynamism, right? Card 39. And the first day I took a look at one of those cards, it was because a friend that comes on here in the morning, Lynn Goldberg, she started doing readings with these cards with us. And I'm like, how did I not know about these cards? I was really shocked that I didn't know. And so I was really excited to be able to connect with them. She gave me the idea to talk to you. And so that is, as they say, how we got together here. So I want to give you a moment here, Rosie, to tell us about you. Tell us about your journey, how you got to this point. And you can give us the shorter version if you want to. How did you get to the point that you are at right now?
Oh, my gosh. How do you do that short? Well, first of all, thank you.
It doesn't have to be real short. You could do it longer if you want. The floor is yours.
We're all going to warm up together. We're all warming up together. It's early in the morning for me. Okay. So first of all, thank you to Lynn for introducing us. And Janet, thank you for having me here. And hello to the community. It's so wonderful to get to meet you all and be here. I guess I could say that if I really go back to my childhood, even when I was like 7 years old, I did one of those, you know, people asked me, what did you want to do with your life? And I said, had three options. One was psychology. One was become an artist. And the other was an architect, which was my kind of my highly approvable path. I had to have some kind of a backup path. But I think if I look back at my whole life, I've been moving back and forth between my love of creative expression and my desire to be of service. So I guess you could say, you know, my higher education started out with therapy and psychology and expressive arts therapy, drama therapy. And then I would do a little bit of art. And then I would do kind of new age explorations. I did breath work for 8 years when I was living in Copenhagen. That was a huge part of my evolution. Also a place where I learned a lot about some of the gifts and shadows that can emerge in spiritual learning environments. And then I kind of went back and forth. So I don't even know how to, so like even when I had my child, I had just gotten a master's degree in the United States, my second one in expressive arts therapy. I got all my hours. I was ready to get my license. And then I had a child and I just felt like I had to surrender to the unknown. I had no idea what was going to come of that. And the first thing that I actually wanted to do once I got a little bit more brain functioning going on was to write a grand archetypal novel, which I'm still in the process of doing.
Okay.
And then after that came human design. So I guess the other thing, if I think about parallels, like one thing has to do with helping people be who they are. Like that's just really important for me and always has been, like just help people feel permission to be real and to honor what they're really genuinely passionate about, which I think has been a big theme in my own life, and then help people open their hearts. So human design came in as this incredibly surprising gift, because it really helps people know that it's okay to be real. And it gives you extremely concrete tools to both understand your conditioning, but also to break free of it. And also to kind of benefit from the loving conditioning. Because I think it's so important that people understand that conditioning isn't all bad. You know, that there's,
right.
You know, it's nurturing. It's some of the most wonderful influences are from the people that love us and know us and encourage us to be who we are. So anyway, I got into human design. I did the whole Jovian archive training. And then again, this always happens to me at the very end. I got, you know, I was all done. I was going to sign the contract, and I read the contract, and it said that I wasn't allowed to integrate it with anything else. Like, I had to present it only in its purity. And I'm such an alchemizer. Like, everything I do is synthesizing. I learn something, I synthesize it. I learn something new, I weave it into the next thing. And I could not spontaneously generate herself. I could not respond with a yes to that. Also, at that point, I've already been integrating gene keys into my life. Richard Rudd was always one of my favorite human design teachers. And when was this? This was maybe 2004 or something like that.
Oh, wow. And so I was at the very beginning of gene keys.
Yes, I was following the gene keys from the very start. Also, because I was already a fan of Richard Rudd's back then. Am I giving too long a version of this story?
Honey, the floor is yours. Talk as long as you like. I'm loving this, and I'm sure everybody else is loving this. Let's just take a quick break here. Good morning. Okay. Laura, Rebecca, Linda, Ann, Debbie, Vanita, Asa, Colleen, it's great to see you ladies out there. Thank you for joining us. And if you joined in just a little bit late, we're talking this morning to Rosie Aronson, who... Oh my gosh, I'm going to be a fan fave of yours. She's the artist and creator of the Wisdom Keepers Oracle Deck, which we've seen here in the morning show because Lynn Goldberg has shared that with us before. She is an author, writer, blossoming guide. That of all of your monikers is the one I love the best, blossoming guide, and an ordained spiritual counselor. And right now she is telling us about her journey through to the gene keys to human design and her. we were talking about this before the show this morning, Rosie, about our circuitous paths that we seem to take. And I wonder, you know, from your standpoint, is this like what women undergo more than men? Because, you know, we have that break sometimes. I mean, I had 4 kids that interrupted. Let me rephrase that, because they didn't really interrupt, but in a way, they took me on another side journey. And it sounds like that same thing happened to you.
Yes, it totally can. Just when you said it that way, I was thinking about in the gene keys, they talk a lot about the pause, both contemplation as the spiritual practice, but the opportunity to really pause, and whether that's every 3 hours for 3 minutes, or whether that's you have a child and it gives you this opportunity to have a pause. And if you really allow yourself to drop in, and be willing to be transformed in that moment, then that pause can turn into a pivot. This is what Richard Rudd talks about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I've heard this.
I know a lot of women, a lot of the women I went to school with, they had their baby and then they went right back to where they were. And that was correct for them, but it wasn't for me. But I do think that women, especially because most of us are conditioned to spend more time with our kids, we have more of an opportunity to actually take the pause and ask ourselves, are we still on the path that feels authentic and correct for us? Or is there something else that's growing inside of us that's wanting to come forth? And if any, like, kids are such teachers, right? They have, I mean, if there's anything life-changing, it is to have a child. And my daughter, she just was so contactful and needed so much of my psyche and time, and I was also kind of doing the whole attachment parenting model, which was in some ways different from what I had learned through my human design education, which is something that we could talk about too. But anyway, the last thing I wanted to do was kind of, I just didn't have the energy to hold so many psyches inside of my own. And the way that I practiced as a counselor was very like death psychology oriented. I would take people into my dreams. I'd work the relationship. We'd be working co-transference dynamics. So I just felt like I wanted to play. I wanted to write. I wanted to allow my fantasy imagination to pour through me when I had my daughter, because she took up all of my intimacy needs. Like, they were all getting I didn't need any more. So she helped me in that way to make use of the pause.
And you just had the one daughter?
Yeah, just one daughter, unlike you. I can't even.
I did this four times. I did this four times, worked a full-time job, decided to go back to college when found out I was pregnant with my fourth one. And he was a total shock and a total surprise. The love of my life. And it's so funny how life kind of weaves around you.
Yes.
Regardless of what you thought you were going to do, right? It just happens sometimes and you deal with it. So I want to know, and I think our listeners would like to know, how is it that you came to be the creator of these lovelies? I mean, I just want to hug each one of them. They're all so alive. How did you do that?
Okay, so skip forward some years. My main work was working as an expressive arts therapy counselor, spiritual counselor, blossoming guide. I had done all kinds of things. I had given a lot of human design readings over the years and Gene Key's readings, and I had kind of moved away from that because I felt that people needed to integrate the knowledge in a deeper way. And I was feeling really despairing about what was happening in the world, all the divisiveness, and really stressed out personally. You know, it was really difficult for my husband and I as two kind of self-employed artists to make a living in the Bay Area. We were working so hard and dealing with a lot of kind of chronic anxiety. I'm just being really honest with you here. Like, the Wisdom Keepers started with my husband and daughter sitting me down and saying, Rosie, you need to just relax. You need to just doodle. And so they took me to an art store, and we didn't have space to, you know, have a big art studio or anything. And I had a really busy life at the time. So I just got like a pad of paper about this big and a black marker. And I made a doodle, and it was so nice. So then I made another one. And then I made a third. And the third one, I just made an outline of a face, and then I doodled inside of it. And that turned out to be grace or graciousness, Wisdom Keeper number 22. I had no idea at the time. It was literally something that I did for myself. It was a meditative practice. It was an artful practice. And when I could, just spending time looking at her face while I was doodling her, I felt received and loved and supported and nurtured. And so then I thought, God, I want to do another one. And I wonder where this next one is going to come from, you know, because I felt like she was coming from an Indian or a Hindu lineage. And the next one, I sort of got this intuition, and the whole thing was very intuitive. This is going to be someone who comes from Africa. And that ended up being the Wisdom Keeper of Simplicity. Yeah, so that's the 22nd. Yeah, so that's the first one.
She's
and in the beginning, they were all black and white. So the color came later. The color came later, yeah. So basically, every time one came to me and I communed with them, I felt like, I got to call another one in. And I just kept going. And sometimes I would get dreams. Yeah.
So at that point, did you know that these faces were connected to the Gene Keys or to human design? That came later, too.
That totally came later. This was a purely, you know, self-nurturing meditative practice for me. There was no agenda. I wasn't creating a product. I wasn't thinking, how am I going to market this? How does this fit into anything else that I'm doing? I say this for people just to give you permission to follow that intuition. And sometimes the best thing you can do is not have a plan, not have an agenda, not be ambitious about it. Like, it was such a gift. Like, I received them as a gift. And then later, over time, maybe I had made 50 of them. And I kept thinking, like, how many of these am I going to make, you know? And then I thought, 64. It's a number that I work with in so many different aspects of my life. I might as well do that. And another thing that would happen while I was drawing was I'd kind of get, like, intuitive downloads of a story. Like, I get a feeling for these people. and how they got to be so serene, how they got to be so peaceful and relaxed and compassionate. And I knew that they all had been through something. Like, they didn't get there the easy route. They got there through some form of suffering, as it is for most of us. And but I didn't really do much with that until I finished all 64. And then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna start just writing down some of their stories. And as I did that, I started to feel a connection between the gene keys, especially the gene keys, more so than human design, because of the shadow gift intersection. Because these people, they worked through a shadow. They leaned into a shadow in order to become who they were. And so for that reason, the gene keys ended up being more of an important synthesizing element. And so I would write the stories, and then I would say, then I said, would you do want to say something? Because I keep talking.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was just going to observe that out of the chaos that was your life at that moment, you know, the craziness, and what you're saying is these faces were serene. They were like your alter ego, right?
It's true.
I just find that fascinating. It was almost like you were living in the shadow, but what you were working with was the gift.
That's right. That's right. And the ones who came to me, I think I took comfort because I knew that they got to where they are because they were like me. Not because they were born that way.
Yeah.
But because they allowed themselves to have suffering and move through it.
Like to evolve through whatever it was that was, you know, their thing, their suffering.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. They had some deep compassion for themselves as humans. And even when I, like before we talked today, I picked a card for our conversation. And the one that I picked was this one, was humanity.
Oh, beautiful.
And compassion. Yeah. And for me, I mean, that's really the only thing that motivates me ever. It's like to have more compassion for myself and everyone else. You know, if we can to encourage that in us humans, because if we can do that, maybe we can make it through this collective crisis that we're in.
Feels so good to hear other people say that.
Yeah, you know. So anyway.
The book that comes along with the cards, you tell the story of each card. So it's not like your typical oracle card that's telling you what to do, where to go, how to do it. It is a wisdom story. And then you also have my gift to you, and then questions for contemplation, which is very Gene Keys like, I think, right? The contemplation, the idea of contemplation.
Yes.
Oh, you also do. You put the gift, the shadow, and the key on there. So, I mean, so for those of you who don't have the cards, you can see how she's sort of laid the descriptions out of the card. So it's really very in depth. I know, like, my husband is not particularly metaphysical, but he is. And he saw these cards sitting out this morning, and he's like, oh, that's new. And I said, yeah, I got them yesterday. I said, pull one. And not only did he pull a card, he saw that there was the programming partner listed. So he also found that one and went through reading both of those. And I went, how would you even think to do that? But he did. And he sat down in sort of this meditation with these cards. I was flabbergasted. So they have an effect on you.
I'm so happy to hear that. That makes me happy. I think another thing that I've really intended is to make this incredible transmission, like the gene keys, and which is connected to human design, available to like everybody. You know, make it really accessible, easy to understand, and also like reflective of the diversity of the human experience. You know, I find like a lot of times when I look at Oracle decks or Tarot decks, there's a lot of white people. I'm a white person, so I have to be aware of that too, about the privilege that comes with that. But there's something about having faces that aren't just white, thin, beautiful people that represent Western models of understanding, Western lifestyles. And so I wanted these to be relatable. And they were for me. So on the one hand, it's sort of reflecting how, like, the diversity of the planet, but also that in the end, we're all the same.
Yeah.
And we all have the same fears. And then in the end, we're all working to open our hearts in our own way at our own pace.
It's so funny. I found myself yesterday looking at the cards going, oh, that looks like Elijah. Oh, that looks like Tenmayo. Oh, and I was going on and on going, oh, and this one, I don't know who this is, but I'm drawn to this card, this guy. I'm going to show just the card. Hold on 1 minute.
Yeah.
Oops.
Which one looks like Elijah and Tenmayo? I'm so curious about that. I was
just looking to see if I could find it. But there's this one, and he keeps catching my eye. That's card 43, Insight, with the hawk up in the third eye. I mean, right. I think that there's so much that you can see. There's a lot of depth in these cards, who knows what you were thinking when you drew, a card. It's not like you even say that, you weren't thinking of any one particular person or drawing, somebody. They're not meant to represent any one person. But what I started to see was a life in these. Here's the one, I think, that.
Oh, Elijah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Yep. This is card 55.
Yeah. He's got a little Bob Marley in him, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But so does Elijah. He's got a sort of, I don't know. Anyway.
No, it's true. I do want to clarify a little bit. I'd say 90% of them totally came through my imagination. And then there were some, like the one that you pulled out, the card, the Wisdom Keeper of Insight, this one was an amalgamation, of Edward Snowden, Stephen Jobs, and Ira Glass. The radio, the podcast host who does This American Life.
Yeah.
Because there's something about those three men that I feel represent an archetype, a modern archetype. That's the other thing. Like, we've got indigenous peoples, but we also have modern people. We've got old people. We have a couple of children in there. And so I feel that I want people to know that we're all wisdom keepers. And wisdom keepers come in every kind of body. They live in every part of the world. And anyway, so these three guys, I tried to capture their essence and put it into one face. And then there is one that looks like Robin Williams.
Oh, haven't found that one yet.
It's number 30. It's not his story. None of them is their story. Uh-huh. But he came to me in a dream and said he wanted to be a part of it. So, what else?
I love one
of them. Oh, so now, yeah. For me, she has a little bit of a Yoko Ono feel to her, although it's not Yoko Ono. But there's a little bit that integrity, that power, that piercing truth-telling, that creative wildness, that individuality.
Yeah, I want to hang out with her for a day.
You should interview her.
If the cards were alive, I would interview her. I could make up an interview. Okay, now, I don't know politically who you like or don't like, but this one reminds me of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay, interesting. Is that a positive association for you?
Well, I think there's a lot about her that people don't like, but the number on the card is 29, commitment. And no matter what you think about her, she has been a committed person in the world.
That is so true.
Not always a force for good, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. There's lots that... Here's Robin Williams.
Yes, that's Robin Williams. Yeah. The story is not the same. I don't really know his personal story, but there are some parallels, and he's such an incredible being.
Yeah, that's a beautiful card. Wow. So I love these cards. And if nothing else, I mean, they're just a contemplation. You don't even have to really read the story. I mean, you can almost see the story, feel the story.
Yeah.
Good job.
And
good
I encourage job. That for people. I encourage that they they first just commune with the face. We don't even look at the word and just find out what emerges inside of them in relation to these wisdom keepers. And then if they want, they can start integrating the word and have their own associations or read the story. They don't have to relate to the story. Uh-huh. Inside of the story, you'll find someone is representing a shadow, a repressive, reactive element. You're going to find the gift in there. But it's not about that. I was just talking to my Romanian resellers, who I totally love. And
Can you speak to them in Romanian?
Pardon? What?
Can you speak to them in Romanian?
I wish I did. Not yet. No, I have to learn it.
Oh, okay.
I just forgot it.
Welcome. You were talking to your Romanian people.
Uh-oh.
Resellers.
You disappeared.
I did? I'm here. Trust me, I'm here.
Janet!
I'm here, I promise. Where'd you go? Well, okay, so... Are you there?
I'm there. Do you see me?
Yeah, I never lost you.
All of a sudden, the screen went black.
Oh, it probably some glitch in the internet between us. I don't know, because I didn't see that. So you were like, Janet, where'd you go, Janet? I'm like, I'm right here.
Oh my God, I'm so impressed with your technological savvy. And also, talk about commitment, everybody. When we were talking beforehand, before this whole call started, she was sharing that since August of 2017, you've been doing this every weekday, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Except for a vacation here or there, Monday through Friday. I just take my hat off.
But yeah. This is my commitment. I really love coming on in the morning and sharing interesting people, sharing what's going on up in the sky. Sometimes, I don't know, I just get on a roll talking about whatever it is that comes up. And it might not have anything to do with astrology. Who knows? There's so much out there, you know, any moment that is going on that we could talk about. So I just wanted to say there's a couple of people out here that must know you. Camille Pipolo.
Oh, hi.
Rosie. Oh. And there's a Diane Kenny. I don't know her, so maybe, but happy Wednesday to you too, Diane. And I don't know, maybe she's someone you know. Good morning, Suzanne, and anybody else who is listening, please feel free. If you have questions for Rosie, go ahead and type them into the chat. And I'm not sure that Rosie can see them, but I will read them to her if that's the case so that she can answer your questions. Rosie, I know I love the cards. We could probably talk the whole time about the cards, but there are some other things that you are working on that are equally as important. And I got to tell you, yesterday I was on your website. I was stalking you in the best way. I ended up on your Designed to Blossom website. Not sure how I got there, but I got there. And I was like, man, oh man. I mean, I could have been jealous because of the way that you present this material. And so tell us about Design to Blossom, because it's not only just this information on your website, it's also a book or a workbook.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Okay. And it's also an online course. It started out as an online course. And then I just recently, just this year, I converted it. I translated it into a workbook. And a resource book too. So what can I say? As you know, I totally love human design, and my background is in expressive arts therapy and counseling. So when I thought, pardon my nonlinear thinking, my very open brain, open mind, and open ajna here. I gave so many readings. And given the 47 life's work, I'm someone who needs to do a lot of transforming in my work. I'm not very good at repeating the same thing over and over again. I don't get a lot of joy from that. And I felt so much responsibility when I gave readings to people to give them like the full picture so that it really could transform their lives. I decided, you know what? I have to find a way to share the basics of human design so that I can start doing the fun work with people, which is, okay, let's integrate this into your everyday life. Let's take a situation that's difficult and apply it. And let's kind of do some subtle discerning, because that's the stuff that gets me excited. So anyway, that was the main motivation to create this online course, where I then took the basics of human design and taught it, but used the creative arts, used my understanding of I don't know, the human psyche, to kind of make it a little bit easier to access and a little more compassionate, a little less black and white, a little more subtle. And it ended up being like 65 videos inside of this course. It was like a really, it's a really big full course. And it was so much fun. It was something that I did together with my husband, which we hadn't done before because he does a lot of video work. And we got to
illustrate. He's the tech guy. He's the tech guy that can get you where you need to go.
Yes, he's been so helpful. Although I've learned from him too. So I end up doing a lot myself these days as well, although not this kind of thing. This is the next frontier for me.
Hey, you did great this morning.
Oh, thank you. So I tried also to just soften the language and also like the whole course starts even before you start learning about human design. You explore your passions. You look at the balance of your life. You do a deep exploration of your conditioning. And for me, that's when it gets juicy. Like if we really kind of start to understand our conditioning and I use a flower metaphor, which in a way is kind of interesting. It's like the star pearl in the gene keys, but I did it way before I knew about that. But we're looking at conditioning in relation to our body or conditioning in relation to our spirituality or our mission or what organization. That was a really big one. I don't know. I think it all started because I was working a lot with moms, but that's a whole other subject, so I won't get into that. But anyway, I created this course, and at the time that I did it, I had an online private group on Facebook where we did a lot of processing and a ton of questions came in. And then, so over those years, I started culling and kind of collecting the questions and the answers because the people who did the Design to Blossom program were so wonderful, really deep people. And then I created the resource book out of that where I said, these are the questions that have come up for people. And here's my attempt at answering them and looking at things like what's the difference between a response and addiction.
Right. Ooh, good one.
Things like that, right? Like interesting things.
Little side trips, you know, that if you're just going to do black and white, you don't get to.
Yes, exactly. And then also I integrate the gene keys. It's not integral human design. It's a bridge to integral human design. Because I find that when people go straight to integral human design, it's so complex and brilliant and wonderful, but it can be a lot for the head. And the whole point of human design is to get out of the head. So I'm trying to like help people first get out of their head and then they can explore all kinds of things. So anyway, that was the Design to Blossom program. And then now it's in book form, which I'm so happy about. And then the resource book for people who want to go deeper and who want to integrate the gene keys with human design and are not afraid to hold paradox because I'm not a black and white thinker. That's not the way I hold either. Gene keys is all about paradox.
So. No. The first thing that I see from you is color.
Yes.
And so imagine my surprise when the one of the choices I had for a book to get from you was a black and white version. I went, no, I can't do that. It has to be color. It has to be that she did this in color. And so
thank you.
It wasn't available.
Well, yes, I did it in color. The reason why I made it available in black and white was because it's so expensive to print in color. I'm like making like a buck off of these books. These are not big money makers for me, but the black and white was so much cheaper to make that I could make it available to people that otherwise wouldn't be able to pay so much for a colored version. You should know too that inside that book, I have so many like images of the incredible art that the participants made. It's so inspiring to see how people's own.
I did see. Yeah. In the Kindle version, you know, you can't really get. There's a few of them that you can see, and I was just like in awe of the creativity that it was bringing out in the people that were doing this. And what we're talking about, listeners, is there's this blossom, a flower, right? And in that are each petal represents something. And these people were drawing these most beautiful representations of where they were in their lives or what, you know, their experiences into these drawings. It was, I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about what some of them were like. And I know I'm sitting here in my Kindle, I'm going past them. I'm stuck looking at them, but I'm going past them because I'm like, I could never do that. I already sold myself short on doing this as a project. Because I could never do it. It was just so amazingly artistic. And yet, I know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to print my own, and I'm going to have to do that just because I was in such resistance to it.
Yes. And if you read, I will talk about that this is not about creating fine art. And I hope that I put in some that are much more simple, but they're so powerful.
Yeah, you did. And they are so powerful. And I mean, maybe there's just some reluctance, you know, that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's had that sort of reaction to digging that deep into your conditioning or into just your life in general and what things might mean. But I know I was in resistance and I went, oh boy, here we go. Because I know I'm like this little dog. Now I'm going to have to go back to it. And it's going to be nagging at me until I actually go through that process. So thanks a lot.
Well, you trust in your right timing too.
Yes.
I mean, that's like the gift of all of these different systems, which are just systems to be let go of eventually anyway. But it's all about getting even like deeper into our trust in our own rhythm, our own timing. Things like you were telling me that story about that astrology book that just kept knocking on your door until you were ready to see it and open it up. And that's kind of how it is with human design or the wisdom keepers or gene keys. It's like, if it's meant to be for us, we will know at the time when it's right, when we're most prime and ready for it. So I'm not big on pushing this stuff on anyone. And there are a lot of people in my life who don't even know what I do.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's always interesting to me when people ask me, what do I do? What, you know, like, the other day I was having a conversation with the cable guy who was coming out to upgrade my internet because my internet went out for a few days. And he's like, so what do you do here? I said, I'm an astrologer. He goes, oh, so you have telescopes and you look at the sky. I went, no, not quite. I do look at the sky, but I interpret things that are happening in the stars and in the constellations. And he's like, oh, I mean, throw away the key. He's not talking anymore to me about what I'm doing. It was so funny. Oh, immediately it was okay if I was an astronomer.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah, but astrologer went like somewhere he wasn't willing to go. It was too funny. I mean, he didn't do it in a mean way. It was just like, oh, that's like on my other side of my brain and I'm not dealing with that side of my brain today. Oh. All right, so besides the Designed to Blossom, you have another book that's out called Walking a Fine Line. I actually have a picture of the book here. And Walking a Fine Line in the same signature rosy colors, the beautiful, just out there in your face with color and brightness. Tell us what this book is about, because it's a different kind of book than what the other book was and what the cards are about.
It's very different. And it's funny because it's my most recently published book, but it's the one I started earliest. I wrote this book actually in the early to mid 90s as a result of a painful learning experience I had inside of an alternative spiritual learning community, where I really came to see some of the shadow material that can arise when a bunch of people with really good intentions and spiritual values come together and do healing work with each other without any background in, you know, how to deal with conflict, how to deal with transference, how to deal with power dynamics, multiple role playing issues, boundary, like how to set healthy boundaries, all the kind of stuff that I learned back in the days of my more traditional psychology upbringing, which I broke free from so that I could learn from the alternative. So anyway, it was my attempt to synthesize everything that I loved about the free learning environments that I participated in, you know, in my 20s, I guess you could say, into my early 30s, with some grounded basic psychological understandings and tools to help people navigate the tricky terrain that often happens when we're trying to support someone and we don't have that kind of training. I mean, you can have that training and still have these problems. So it's not even that this isn't for therapists or psychologists either, but I find that these kinds of inquiries can be really helpful for alternative healers, yoga teachers, astrologers, urban shamans, goddesses, you know, whoever we are, so we can still be free and benefit from all of that and follow our intuition and trust in our higher self and guidance, but at the same time have 2 feet on the ground, know what our what the scope of our practice is and what it isn't, like have some humility around that, and kind of have some sense of what to do when problems arise. Because a lot of us sort of who are drawn to sort of new agey type or, you know, woo-woo types, and whatever we're going to call it, idealistic, humanitarian type work, we want to remain in the light. Like we want to just be in the light with people. And when the dark comes up, when the shadow comes up, we're at a loss. We don't really know how to deal with that. And so part of that, this is why I love the Gene Keys so much, is because it's really honoring the gift of the shadow, the gift that's inherent in the shadow if we don't push it away, but we actually lean into it and work with it, embrace it. So I totally lost my train of thought there, but that's what this book is about. So anyway, what happened was recently I noticed that a lot of the stuff I was trying to address in this book 25 years ago were still happening. Like it's still happening in the groups that I've been a part of, the communities that I've been a part of, where we're clinging to the light and trying to like escape the shadow, or being like horrible at repair work. Like we're really good at harmony and we're getting into conflicts, but we're not very good at repairing. And I thought, God, you know, maybe I should take that book out of the closet, dust it off, you know, make it a, you know, streamline it a little bit. It's probably still way too long. And offer it to people in case it could be helpful. And my hope is that over time I can offer it to the ambassadors and the GPs. Yeah, yeah. And I think that it could be really helpful. And I'm, you know, I got a master's degree and I got another education in humanism. I've done so much since I wrote the book. So there's a little bit of embarrassment, like, oh, I've learned so much since I wrote it. But when I really think about it, I think it's really helpful. And I want to thank Pam DeLeo. I want to thank Pam DeLeo and Shandy Peterson for their support and help in just recognizing the importance of this book and helping me craft it and get it out. So just wanted to put that out there.
Beautiful. Pam DeLeo twice was one of the people in my breakout group that I was with.
Oh,
so it's even amazing that I would know that name. And
so great. She's a true wisdom keeper. And yeah, she's been a big support for me over these past couple of years, I gotta say.
I can see how that would be. Wonderful. So yeah. Walking a Fine Line, and this book is out already.
Yeah. Everything is available on Amazon.
Yeah. And that's where I found a lot of the products and so forth that you have. Now, tell us something coming up. You have Wisdom Keepers Collective, a transformation spread. I'm guessing that's a layout of the cards that you want to be working on, or?
Yeah, well, I've kind of been in a weird place in my life because I just moved after living in 20 years in Berkeley, California to Santa Fe, New Mexico, just a couple of months ago. So I really had to kind of put a lot of my work aside so that I could focus on this big life transition. But one of my deepest intentions in the coming year and following year is to share more about the Wisdom Keepers with people and create online classes for people who want to use them for themselves or who want to use them in their work with other people, whether it's individual work or they want to work with groups. Because there are a lot of people who are already doing it and they're doing amazing things. I'm so inspired by them. So I just want to keep doing that. So anyway, the first thing I thought I could do just to get myself warmed up is do like a collective spread. So I'm just at some point, probably late May, early June, and I'm not quite sure about the technology piece of it, like whether it's going to be a webinar or whether I'm going to just do it live on Facebook or what, but I'm going to do a spread in honor of what's going on in the world right now. And I will be picking 4 cards and talking about it and also inviting people to a deeper contemplation around each of these cards that come up in relation to what's happening in the world. And I think so many of us, you know, we want to make a difference and we can get a little overwhelmed by the level of suffering and chaos and not necessarily know how to make a difference in a way that's authentic and real and not just coming through some form of conditioning, whether it's like activist conditioning or spiritual conditioning or whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So that's the first thing I'm going to do. And then after that, I have a class planned where I'm going to do, this one is more me pulling cards and sharing them with people. But the next class is going to be where people work with their own decks. And we're going to work with an integrity wheel. Because I feel like if there's anything we need right now, it's integrity. And what's integrity for you isn't necessarily how it's going to look for me. So we'll be calling in the wisdom keepers to help us create kind of like a personal counsel to keep us in our integrity in relation to wisdom and courage and healthy boundaries and that kind of stuff. So that'll be coming out too, and I'm not sure when.
Well, that sounds really exciting. I would want to participate in that.
Oh.
Wonderful. I love that kind of stuff.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, so an online class coming up, Wisdom Keepers Collective Transformation Spread. When do you breathe?
When do I breathe?
Yeah, it's like you have so much going on. When do you have time?
Oh my God, I have classes where I'm going to weave together Design to Blossom with the Wisdom Keepers. I have a class ready for people who want to use it in their private practice or their teaching. I did a lot of this work last year before I moved, and my intention was actually to start sharing those classes last year. So I feel like I'm kind of behind.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, it's – well, you know, one thing that I've done is I ended my private practice, which I had a pretty full practice for many, many years in Berkeley, and I might open it up just to a few old clients who want to continue working with me, but I'm really carving out more room to do more of this kind of work. I want to do more teaching, more art. And then did I tell you about the Dream Arc?
No.
Oh, okay. I just plant a little seed because this is another really big thing that's coming up in my life that I'm super excited about, which is I will be partnering with Richard Rudd in creating a deck / maybe creative workbook, maybe some kind of teaching transmission around the Dream Arc, which basically weaves together shamanic animal totems with the dream lineage and dream time and the intuition. And this is something that Richard's been working on and percolating on for many years. But now he feels like it's ready to launch. And so we're partnering together and I'll be doing the art and I'll be the one who's like, again, like trying to take that knowledge and bring it out to the people and help collect and gather the wisdom of the people, of the community, so that it becomes a collective co-creative process.
Nice.
So it's not just coming through us and out, but it's also coming from you and from everybody here who's interested in this kind of thing. Because we all dream, and we dream together, and we all have our own unique associations with animals and the archetypes and the wisdom that each animal embodies. So anyway, that's another really cool thing that's coming up. So keep an eye out.
I would love that too. You know, in the mornings we draw oracle cards here, and usually on Mondays I'm drawing a card for the week. And one of the decks that I absolutely love is a spirit animal deck. And this week was the seahorse. And it was about grounding things into reality. So it was a really interesting card. It's a deck by Colette Baron-Reed, who I'm going to be meeting in the next couple of weeks on a cruise that I'm taking into the Caribbean. So it'll be so much fun to meet her because she's really got a lot of decks out there. And, you know, it's interesting because I think in the resource library in the Gene Keys, for each of the gene keys, he actually has a dream arc associated with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And it just occurred to me, doesn't he have his son at gate 64?
That makes sense. Yeah. 64, 63.
And if your son is at 47, you guys are completing that whole channel there of bringing in information and your ability to disseminate it and bring it out.
Oh, very true.
I don't remember. Somehow that just sticks in my head.
No, it's true. Yeah. He has the whole channels. And I have sort of like a gate coming up from the bottom.
Yeah, 47 comes up from the Ajna.
Yeah, 47 is on the other side too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what a nice connection that is, though, for people to work together. I mean, that's a really creative connection. So I love that. All right, last but not least, I've kept you for almost an hour here. I want you to tell us about the Universal Love Alliance. I didn't find anything about that online. I ran out of time yesterday, honestly. So I probably could have found it. But tell us about what that is and what the work is that you're doing. It looks like it was in Uganda.
Yeah, it's in Uganda. First of all, we are working so hard on putting a website up. So if anybody out there is really good at websites, let us know. We've been really struggling getting that up and running. But anyway, I don't know if you know about this, but I did this project a while back called The Face of Love is Universal, where I connected with people all over the world and had them hold up one of the wisdom keepers and say the face of love is universal in their own language.
Oh, and, okay.
And then I ended up I can send you the montage that came, the video montage that came out of it. But anyway, when I decided to do this, which was a huge project, I gotta say, huge project, like I went onto Facebook and the first thing that happened was I received an invitation to be friends with a man named Samson Turanawe from Universal Love. At the time it was called Ministries. And I just had such a feel, like I had such a warm feeling about him. And I said, hey, you know, I can see you're in Uganda and you have something to do with Universal Love. Would you be interested in participating in this video campaign I'm doing? And he not only said yes, you have to understand, these people have no resources. He rented a camera. He printed out like 50 wisdom keeper faces. He rented a van. He went to different schools out in the field and had like hundreds of kids holding up this picture and saying the faith of love is universal. Like, and then, I mean, I was so touched. I can't even tell you. But anyway, that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And then in addition to that, I learned about the work that they do in Uganda. These are very, very brave people who serve marginalized people inside of Uganda, including sexual minorities, which I don't know if you know what's going on over there, but it's life-threatening. Yeah. And they work with kids who have been orphaned because their parents have died of AIDS, the grandmothers who are taking care of those kids, women who are becoming self-empowered to be self-sustaining. They do harmony gardens where they're teaching people how to sustain themselves through organic gardening. But one of the most important things they do is they educate religious, political, and cultural leaders in inclusion and accepting all people in a universal love. And they do it through dialogue. This is what I love about them, is they don't, like, they could be standing in front of someone who actually thinks they don't have the right to be alive, and they can see the love in them, and they can open up to a conversation with them. And the amount of hearts that they've opened over the years since I've known them is really amazing. So I feel like they live the Gene Keys.
Yeah.
And so I will do anything to support this organization, including become a part of, on the board of a nonprofit, which I've never done before. It's so not me. I'm like not an organizer. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm a little chaotic in my own creative path. And this is also how I got to Santa Fe, because several of the people on the board live in Santa Fe and they're wonderful people. And then there's this amazing man in Illinois too. So anyway, if I can keep in touch with you and let you know when the official website goes up, I would be so happy. And yes, I'm planning a fundraiser too June 7th here in Santa Fe, but we would also be open to support from people who aren't here. So anyway, I love these people. I love what they're doing. And they are my role models for how to actually live in integrity with an open heart.
How to live truth, how to live in truth. That is so beautiful, because I know how dire things can be there. In, you know, all the different countries, there seem to have some major shadows going on all the time. And that's beautiful. I think, you know, what really struck me, Universal Love, one of my design son is at Gate 25. So the Gate of Universal Love. And I'm like, oh God, I got to find out about this. So that's wonderful. And yes, please keep in touch with me. And I will let my listeners know all about what's going on with this worthy project. It looks like Pam DeLeo checked in with you here, Rosie. She said, Rosie and Rosie's books and work are absolutely beautiful, so full of love and empowering. Can't recommend them enough. Thank you, Pam. Oh. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. I mean, you can just tell the quality of the work that you do when, I mean, all you have to do is look at a face, you know, and you can see the caliber of the work that Rosie has done here with capturing the essence of the Gene Keys, capturing the essence of people, of love. And, you know, I didn't notice that at first, but yeah, there is a serenity, a wisdom in each of these faces that you've captured. It's really quite lovely. So let's see. Does anybody have any questions out there from Rosie? I know they've been really good listeners. Thinking, you know, they love human design. They love the Gene Keys. They love the work that, you know, you're doing. But if you have any questions, now's the time to ask them. Rosie, I'm going to give you the last few minutes here to tell people how they can find your work, what's your website, all the deets that people can get in contact with you through.
Okay. I'm sorry for talking so much. For an introvert, I did pretty well. I think it's you, Janet. You brought me out.
I have that effect on people. But no, I mean, this was about you, Rosie. So you were meant to talk. You were meant to be the showcased here.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, dare to shine, everyone. We all have to move through our resistance. We need you all to speak up.
Yeah.
So it's really simple. If you want to find my work, you can find it on wisdomkeepers.net. Not .com, but .net. And if you look in the about section, then you can see a bunch of things there. But you'll see courses. You'll see, you'll learn about the coloring book. We didn't talk about that, but the coloring book for Wisdom Keepers. And I did a whole project donating them to all kinds of people. That was pretty cool.
Can you also get the coloring book?
Yeah. That's also on Amazon.
Nice.
And then, good. I'll give that to you too. And then what else we have?
Go ahead.
If you go to the art place, you can get Wisdom Keeper as prints in black and white or color, or you can get them as blankets, like really cozy blankets. This is my total favorite thing to get, or even pillows.
Okay.
So that's something else. On my website, if you go to art.
Okay, so the wisdomkeepers.net and go to art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to art. You can see, and then it'll tell you, then you can look at the books too, and I'll tell you about the books. But all the books you can find on Amazon.com. On Amazon.
So I think the website I actually ended up on was rosiearonson.com.
Yeah. That I think most of that will redirect you to wisdomkeepers.net. That's the most recent. So if you go to rosiearonson.com, that's okay too. But I think wisdomkeepers.net it's like the most recent of my websites where I tried to bring it all together.
Great. So they can get your products there. They can find out what classes you're doing. They can keep up. Do you have any mention of the Universal Love Alliance on that website?
Yes. There's a link that talks about global outreach. And that's where I talked about various things that I've been doing. You know, whether it's the postcard gratitude postcard project or the coloring book project or ULA, Universal Love Alliance. You can find that there. If you want to be on a mailing list, this isn't something I do. I'm not like gathering thousands of people or anything, but you can just go to my, the contact page and give me your email and say, put me on your mailing list. And then I can let you know, for example, when I do the collective transformation spread.
That's great. Good. So you have a mailing list. People can buy products. They can look at the classes and just kind of keep up with what you're doing, because it sounds like things are ready to just bust out again for you. So maybe telling of each thing that's coming up, you might be pretty quick here in the next few months.
Yeah.
It might. Apparently, cards are downloadable on Kindle.
No, but. This, I made a paperback version of the inner guidebook.
Oh,
for people who need to have like bigger text, like me.
Are you over?
That book is on Kindle. That book is on Kindle, and I really want to get all the other books onto Kindle, but I have to You know, formatting it has been really a pain in the buttock. So I have to find someone to help me with that. Just
you can find people easily out there. Go to Fiverr.com and you'll find people that can do that.
Do that? For Kindle? Oh.
Yeah.
Good idea.
It's not even that expensive to get a program that'll just do the formatting for you. I used to have one because I was going to write books and put them on Kindle. And I think even on Kindle, on Amazon itself, there is a converter. You might check that part out. There used to be.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously you have the manuscript in digital format. You would just copy and paste it into the Kindle formatter, and it should do all that for you. I don't know how about how you deal with the artwork part of it, though. That might be a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, a friend, a woman that listens to us in the morning says that she just downloaded the cards on Kindle. So she must have downloaded the book that has the explanation. And she says she loves that it tells the story of each card.
Oh, good.
Yeah, love it. Well, Rosie, thank you so much for joining me this morning. You did great. You have wonderful products. You have, a brain that just is amazing, an artist's heart. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. And I hope to have you back again.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you,
and
Jerry.
Thank you all out there for joining us this morning. I will get this produced up into YouTube and to a Blog Talk Radio post, so you'll be able to access it in any number of ways. And for now, all of you have a wonderful day. Mwah! Much love to you all. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
No, see you tomorrow until afternoon. I'm sorry, tomorrow's Thursday. Thursday afternoon, Ascension and Astrology at 4 p.m. on this week, the Ascension and Astrology Facebook Live page instead of Living Astrology. I'll post that up for you all later today. Thanks again. Take care, everybody. Bye, Rosie.